In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Queen of Carmel,
pray for us.
Holy Mother, St. Teresa,
pray for us.
Holy Father, St. John of the Cross,
pray for us.
The Son and Holy Spirit. Okay, before we begin, are there any... Actually, before we begin, a practical thing. Is anyone leaving from here this afternoon after lunch and driving anywhere near the airport? Anyone? Because there's some nice person that needs to fly to Brisbane, and I suppose it'd be because you have to catch a flight. You don't really want to trust the trains. So there are all sorts of people that it's on. You better come and check. There are all sorts of people that want to drive you, Twee, so you can look into that afterwards. It's good to be popular, isn't it? Any thoughts or questions from yesterday? Everyone's happy? You've all discerned everything you need to discern? Okay. How many people have discerned they want to get married? How many have discerned that you shouldn't have got married, but it's too late? What about anyone discern you want to become a Carmelite? Because if no one does, we'll die out. So you better start discerning to become Carmelite so that I can retire one day. My main concern so I can have a rest. Okay, I want to now move on to another component. I was pondering this morning. I don't know what I said to you, I do last night, but I'm pondering this morning. And yesterday we were looking at listening. And ultimately, it has to be a sense of listening to God. Okay, so I think that maybe that's what we need to do next. So with all these topics that you put on for a weekend, a weekend is never big enough. So you'll always leave, I think, thinking, gosh, he didn't really do what he was meant to do. I remember giving a weekend on how to pray, and one lady said, it was lovely, but I think I know less than what I knew when I turned up on Friday. I said, well, that's good. I said, at least you've moved somewhere. Listening. And it has to be about God because again, as I said, we are talking within the context of faith. And when you speak with someone like me, I can only talk to you about things about faith. You know, the only other thing I think I can talk to you about is how to cook fried rice. No one's ever asked me about that. So apart from that, The only thing that I don't know is things about faith, because to say that you know about things about faith is a very strange thing. But this is all about God. And those of you who know Father Peter, he always say to me, I suppose you talked about God again, did you? And my answer to him is, well, what else is there to talk about, really? What else is there to talk about? Talk about the football? Well, the World Cup will be over and soon, and there's nothing to talk about. But the only thing which is perennially, for me, of value to talk about is about God. I don't know that there's anything else, really. Everything else passes. So we need to say something about God in order to talk about listening to God and what that means and how to do it and what you need to put in place in your life. Listening to God is, in fact, very difficult because you can't make an appointment and say, I'll see you at 9:30. You can do that with Father Greg. If you could get to the Pope, you could do it with the Pope too. With anybody, you can make an appointment and sit down and talk with them. And, provided that they're not rude or strange, they'll answer you. Okay? So you can, in fact, engage and have a conversation. But with God, it's different. And ask Carmelites about talking to God. Because the whole of a Carmelite's life is a life of growing dialogue with God. What's the Carmelite life about? At the bottom line is seeking to know God and to come to know the love of Christ. It's about wanting to know and striving to grow in an understanding and a knowledge and relationship with God, the love of God. It's not about running parishes or giving retreats or any of these things. It's so different to other religious orders where what they do or their study or all these things are the primary purpose. The peculiar thing about the discounts Carmelite life is it's It's about looking for God. It's about coming to know God and have friendship with God of a kind which is constantly growing but changing. So it's very hard then to specify and to say what a Carmelite vocation is. Amongst other things, you really can't market it because it sounds so silly. It sounds so boring, but it's not. So how do you listen to God? How do you find God? First thing that you need to know is that God cannot be found the way other things are found. You don't find God in the marketplace, but God is in the marketplace. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. But you don't find him the same way as you look for other things. You don't look into a newspaper. You don't go to the Yellow Pages. Okay, so Yellow Pages, I say you can do anything, but you can't find God but the Yellow Pages. Even if you can find where the churches are, you haven't found God. There's no obvious human thing by which you can find God. And yet at the same time, everything which is available to me as a human being, if I'm in the right context and place, everything will speak of God. Everything will point to God. Everything, for the one who seeks God, everything will expand their desire, will whet their appetite for God. Okay? But God remains always mystery. God is that thing which we desire, that person that we desire, that we can never get our hands on. It's a good thing in a way, because if I could get my hands on God or get my mind around God, then God is as little as I am. But God is beyond everything which I am. God is much more than this. Someone asked me yesterday and said, I don't know that I want to go to heaven because the thought of being there forever is horrible. You know, we're talking about permanence. Fancy being in heaven forever. Many people wonder that and think, will I be there playing a harp with an angel forever? Good grief, it sounds horrible, doesn't it? And my answer was, no, it's not like that at all. It's imagine the happiest, most wonderful moment of your life, the moment that you wish would never end, and it won't end. It will go on forever. That's heaven. That's God. It's a different kind of thing. You know, if you think in terms of your own constructs, and every construct you have will fail in relation to God. Okay? So how can I listen to God? How can I listen to this, which we speak of as God? Because in one sense, whatever I'm listening to, whatever I can take to myself, say St. Therese would put it, it's like a drop of water in all the oceans of the world. It's almost as nothing. And that experience, it will dissolve into the oceans of the world in terms of the possibility that God offers us for now and eternal life. So, you know, for me, the enterprise of seeking God is the enterprise of the life of the Discalced Carmelite. The whole life is, those of you who knew Father Hilary, when he was 70 years a Carmelite, he died just before he celebrated 75 years of being a Carmelite. But he was 70 years a Carmelite. So what's it like? He said, it's always more and more looking for the beloved. Looking, but wanting the beloved more and more. And yet the experiences of a greater darkness. Interesting that. Because the God that we speak about is a God who is present in darkness. That's the way the mystics write about it. Because God is not present to us in something which is defined. Which is why, yes, many people look for God through theology, but you'll never find God through theology. Because theology tries to define and understand. And that's helpful. It is helpful so that I can take the next step of letting go into the mystery. Because that's the mystery of what love is. Love is a thing which is spoken about all the time. It's written about, it's in the movies, it's everywhere. But tell me, what is love? Tell me, what is love?
God is love.
God is love. But that doesn't tell me much at all either, because I tell me, who is God? And you say, God is love. The thing about love, which is why it's a bit like God, because God is love, the way we talk about love is that love is beyond definition. Because love is something about life. And all the most wonderful things are really, they're not scientific. They don't present themselves for mathematical modelling. Try to mathematically model love. Get 5 Nobel Prize winners and say, give me a mathematical model for love. And if they're intelligent mathematicians, they'll look at you and think you're mad. Because it's not, there's that sense of mystery. And this is just to start to get you thinking about what is God. Because people speak about God, or people who don't believe in God speak about what they don't believe in. They're quite sure of what it is that they don't believe in. Which is a peculiar thing, isn't it? I don't believe, and I can tell you what it is, you know. What is God? What is this? Okay, that's enough for that, just to give you a taste of what kind of this is about. Listening to God. What must we do in order that we might do this? And I suppose if I'm going to draw from something, I'll be drawing implicitly from two people. One is St. John of the Cross, which I can't help but do because I'm one of his followers. And another one is from another one of John's followers, another Discalced Carmelite friar, who died just before the French Revolution at our priory in Paris. And his name was Lawrence of the Resurrection. Lawrence of the Resurrection was a significant... He's not beatified, he's not a saint, anything like that. At least the friars, we really never run around proposing someone to be canonized, largely because we think it's a waste of money. And given that as an order we don't have much money, we don't really, because if he's in heaven, he's in heaven, it's fine. Our nuns, every Carmel would love to have one of their nuns canonized. So the nuns really. And they get the bishops behind it, and they don't have money, so the bishops put in the money. And we have a ton of Discalced Carmelite nuns who are canonized. And a great number of the friars, because the friars, if you know what the friars are like, we're not organized enough to get ourselves behind something like that. It's funny, the D in OCD is not discalced, it means disorganized. If you know, anything about Discalced Carmelite friars, disorder kind of fits the picture, because, well, our life's about something else. Okay, it's a different kind of focus. But this man was a significant man, because his works are studied by who? The Quakers. The Quakers study him. And in many ways, I would hazard a guess, probably more Quakers have read Lawrence of the Resurrection than Catholics. Okay? But what Lawrence of the Resurrection and John of the Cross propose... And John proposes this, and you'll see very clearly in about number 4 of the Degrees of Perfection. It's about number 4. That's 17 lovely sayings of John of the Cross. But in what I'm going to propose to you is, if you want to listen to God, you have to learn to live in the presence of God, to find the way so to live so that your life is not consciously, but consciously and unconsciously being lived in the presence of God. Because God is to be found everywhere. And if I can't find God in a certain place, it's not God's problem, it's my problem. And God is to be found everywhere. And if what I'm finding and listening to is not God, again, it's my problem. Because I need to address my mode of life, my mode of presence, and these kind of things. Okay, so what I'm speaking towards, for those of you who know, would be towards something towards, but not precisely on what we as Carmelites would speak of as the presence of God, which is an easier thing to point to than listening to God. Okay?
Does that include the absence as well?
Sorry?
Does that include the absence of God?
Yes. When God seems to be absent, there's a way to be present. Okay, and that's another way to speak about prayer from the perspective of St. Teresa of Avila. Prayer is learning to realise that whatever's happening now, God is there. And John of the Cross will say the same thing. In every moment of my life, God is there. And it's beholden to me to find God, to find the way to be present in this moment. And that's that seems to me to be at the heart of what it is to be able to listen. Because we identified last night that in terms of what we looked at, we looked at three obstacles. Another way of specifying those obstacles is that when these are in place, I'm present to myself, not to God. I'm present to my own disposition. I'm present to my wants and desires, the things that I want. What was the third? To my memory. They were the three which we looked at. And what's happening when they are impinging upon my life? I am not present to God fundamentally, but because of these things, I'm present to myself. Okay? Because really, when it boils down to it, what we're on about is whether I'm simply present to myself or present to God. Okay, but it's not me. He's making me angry. No, it's not. You're angry. And you are present. Your fundamental experience at this moment is of your own anger, not of that person. Don't blame somebody else for your anger. Because there is a way to be present to that person without being angry. Your anger is your response, and your response consumes you. Okay? Not the person, but the person. And infatuation is the same thing too. You could be infatuated with a rabbit. We've got tons of rabbits here. No one here is infatuated with rabbits except the cat. It periodically brings back the remains of a cat and leaves it at the front door. Sorry, brings back the remains of a rabbit and leaves it at the front door. But, you can be infatuated with a rabbit. But that's something about yourself. The rabbit has no idea that you're infatuated with the rabbit. That's why I'm not picking a person. Okay? So, I want then to just give you some things to help you, and I'll write up those that are coming to mind now, just in case when I start up I forget. Yes, we'll be counting. Space and time were two of the antinomies, weren't they, of Immanuel Kant. Space and time. I think that in order to be able to listen to God, we all need to develop a space for God. Because you can't go looking for God. God's not there to be found, the way I spoke about God a moment ago. God's not an object. God's not a hidden treasure somewhere. God's not going to be behind a secret wall that if I can just find the place there God is and then I've got God. No. The greater truth is that the God is someone who, if I can find the space and make the space, God grows in my life. Okay? God's not something that I can take hold of, that I can capture, that I can make my own. But the reverse is true. I am somebody that God can capture. Okay? You think of it the other way. We think, I have to go and I have to get God. But the reverse is true. What's really happening is God is coming and trying to get me. But God can't capture me, because if he does that, he will violate my freedom. Because I'm made free, and God wants me, the only way God can have me is by working with my freedom, so that we work together. What's really happening is there are two desires happening here. I have a desire for God, but even greater than my desire for God is God, or let's say Jesus' desire for me. So great is his desire for me that he died on the cross. Never forget that. That's how do you understand how much does Jesus want me? He died. He couldn't do more because he's dead. There's nothing else you can do. No greater love can I have than to lay down my life for you. Don't think, what does that mean by love? But my desire is so great, my desire for you is so great that I will lay down my life to have you. But I can't have you unless you say yes. Okay, so the context of listening to God, we have to always turn it around the other way. It's what I always do, and I believe it's what St. Teresa did. Always turn it the other way to get a sense of what God is doing. Because if I don't have a sense of what God is doing, I don't know what to do myself, because really what I'm doing is responding to God. Okay, I've said that many times in all the talks that I've given. You're not looking for God. God is looking for you, and you've woken up to that, and your response is that you're looking for God. But you wouldn't be looking for God if God didn't want you. Okay? And God, our Lord, wants you. And therefore, you are looking. And so you have to get in mind that what's happening here is you're responding in your freedom to his desire for you. I wish I brought... Has anyone got John of the Cross with them? Oh, good. You can come a sec. You can come again, please. Here's my John of the Cross at home in St. Lars. I don't carry things unless I have to. And this is from stanza, Spiritual Kansas, stanza 35, I think it is. Let's see whether my memory is right. It's either 34 or 35. It is 35. She lived in solitude, and now in solitude has built her nest, and in solitude he guides her, he alone who also bears in solitude the wound of love. What John is trying to say here is what you don't realize is you might desire God, but your desire for God is infinitesimally small compared for his desire for you. It's what God wants. God wants me. And so the first thing that I would recommend that you do in order to be able to begin to listen is to make it possible for those two desires to meet each other. Okay, I'm just trying to put it in a simple kind of logic for you. And that means to make space for each other. Because it would be kind of like I go to Father Peter, who's, I'm his superior, but he's the local prior, and I say, look, Peter, I have to tell you something, but I've fallen in love with Anastasia, and we're getting married next month. He'd lose what hair he had left, actually. It would all fall out. And he doesn't know what to do, and he says, tell me about Anastasia. Oh, she's beautiful. Okay. And then he says, and where does she come from? I don't know. Oh. What does she do? I don't know. Have you ever talked with her? No, I haven't. Then Peter would put his hair back in. He would say, oh, then he wouldn't worry because we've never shared space. By sharing space, this is not simply a physical space, but what I mean by space is that there is a place where two souls can meet. Souls have never met. You have to be either... He's always been mad or he's gone mad. That's what he'll start to think now. And you go to Wendy and say, Wendy, quick, cook him a curry. That'll fix him up. Because, and then, kind of, it would be bizarre, wouldn't it? For someone, because space is, and it needn't be, I'm trying to have you think about space in a non-physical manner. But the word space is the best word that I can find. You have to find space for God. that's about many things, because it's not as if there's a special place where God is even, but you need to find space in your life for God. That means time, amongst other things, but not simply time, because otherwise more space means more time. It's not about the quantity of time either, but that there is a place in your life for God. And that's vitally important. And that space needs to be nurtured. And in that space, you need to find life. I'll give you another example. Hands up those who have seen Gothic or Romanesque cathedrals in Europe. If you've seen them, the movement from Romanesque to Gothic was a movement to greater and greater heights, amongst other things, because they discovered the flying buttress. They were able to build higher and higher. And because they were able to do that, they were also to build higher and higher with glass, so that you had the sense of an interior which was empty. What the great cathedral builders were trying to do was to create space. Okay, and those of you who know Zen aesthetics, even with the Japanese, in a small garden they create space by so placing things that it gives the impression of space. Because these architectural places are places into which a person can go and enter into a space. So what these people did within our own Christian tradition, and certainly within the Zen Buddhist tradition, was to create space physically, put things there so that a space is created. Because when you think about space, beauty exists in space. Okay? This space here is not beautiful because it's functional. Got shelves there. There was an empty space there when Zai was prior. I put that wall across there to make that ugly spot behind there into a cupboard. So in fact, looks better. So kind of, we live in a world which is very functional, don't we? We live in a world where if you were building a house, you would say, oh, no, we have to put something there because we're paying for it. We have to make useful spaces. When you don't have much money, you can't afford space. Unfortunately, without space, you've got no living space. You've got no place for beauty. Which is why then, even if the place is small, it's good to place it in such a way that it does become somewhere you do have space. And if you don't have space, you go outside. Okay? Space. It's so important for life. If we don't have space, we don't have life, really, in the full human sense of the word. If you don't have space, there is no beauty. Which is why even when people are poor and only have a small space, they bring something to make the space beautiful. Because there is a natural human sense that beauty takes place within a space. And even if you're listening to music, someone says, oh, they're spaced out. Funny word to use, isn't it? when they're overwhelmed by something beautiful, they say they're spaced out. If they move to another... Well, metaphorically, they have. That's what I'm starting to mean by space. Do you know what I'm saying? What kind of space is this space? And we can move now into another place, which is prayer. Space is the place in which relationship happens. Any kind of relationship, whether it's relationship with another person, whether it's a relationship with God, whether it's a relationship with yourself. Relationship happens, as I want to talk about it, in a space, okay? In some kind of space is where it happens, which is why this notion of space is so important. You're very busy and stressed. You need to find space for yourself. You need to re-establish a relationship with yourself. It seems quite strange. It's not madness talking to yourself. But a person who is integrated has an authentic relationship with themselves. When you don't have a proper relationship with yourself, you've got problems, okay? You have stress, you have anxieties, you've got all these kind of things. It's not simply that the world is pressing down upon you, but the world is pressing you, pressing your buttons. Okay, so what's happening? And if the world can press your buttons, it means you're not yet at ease with yourself, you're not yet integrated in yourself. Okay? And so when this is out, you think, I need to find space for myself. What does that mean? I need to re-establish relationship with myself. This is what we would call a second order presence, that you can be present to yourself at a different level of presence. And you need that quality space. Well, this space indeed is the space that must be there if we are to live in the presence of God. Because as I'm starting to talk about it now, when you're living in the presence of so many other things, you suddenly find that you have no space for yourself. It's the way that you're present, the way that things are present to you. If you're in the right space, there can be many things present to you. It doesn't matter if you're in the wrong space, one thing is enough to make you flip. Okay? The space that I'm in. It's very crucial in terms of the spiritual life and in terms of the human life. Now, there are three fundamental spaces that we can talk about. I was going to talk about prayer, but I'll continue talking about space. The space that I have with myself, the space that I have with God, and the space that I have with others. And others means other things and other people. Okay? Because that fundamentally fills the spectrum, doesn't it? Space with myself, space with other people, space with God. Space with things. You think, what about space with things? Because some people run away from themselves and God and other people by just having a space with things. All day long on the computer or whatever it is. Life, their space is a space in which they are engaged by things. They don't engage things. You can't engage things, but they are engaged by things. Okay. Whereas the other spaces are quite different. You are engaged and you engage. It needs to be nuanced when you're talking about yourself, but when I'm with you, you engage me and I engage you. Okay? Space. So space is where meeting happens. Okay? It's more than a physical space.